Nothing less than Biden's hopes of a second term will be on the line at the news conference exactly 2 weeks after his incoherent and dazed debate performance sent his campaign into freefall. It's the latest in a series of public events that have turned into excruciating examinations of Biden's health and cognitive capacity, during which any slip or confusion could trigger political disaster. That's not Fox News. It's not a conservative think tank. It's CNN.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Coming up on quarter after eight this Thursday morning, it could be because of the increased scrutiny, the public displays, the high-powered attorneys, or it could just be a matter of these things take time. But there is movement on the case of the man who died at a downtown Milwaukee hotel while being held by hotel security. It's getting a response now from the Milwaukee County District Attorney's Office.
To see them beat him repeatedly over and over and over again, and they didn't stop. They could have stopped. They could have let him go, and they didn't.
Devante Mitchell's wife, Deasia Harmon, at a downtown rally on March Wednesday, reacting to video that she said she, family attorneys, and others were shown in a meeting with the district attorney's office. The results of that meeting, not what they wanted, although not a no. It's more from the district attorney's office of a we don't know yet. Like, DA's office has met with them, so it's a we see you, we hear you, here's an update on what we're doing. I feel like that's fair because for a number of reasons, which we're about to enumerate here, this investigation is going to take additional time. So we'll bring you up to speed on the story. This morning, there is still no decision on whether criminal charges would be filed against anyone, one or more of the security officers who held the man down at the Hyatt Regency Hotel. That man, Devante Mitchell, he died.
Everybody should have trained police and quasi-police authorities that you don't put knees on necks and backs because it causes asphyxiation. It causes people to suffocate.
If that voice is familiar to you, he's a nationally renowned civil rights attorney, Ben Crump. He is in Milwaukee this week. He was with Mitchell's family demanding accountability. These four security guards engaged with Mitchell removed him from the hotel after they say he was accused of entering the women's bathroom. And that interview that you heard there with Attorney Crump was with Tory Lowe on 101.7 The Truth. He was also speaking at the rally Wednesday.
I am so proud of the moral-minded community here in Milwaukee who are standing up and saying, this isn't right.
So the video, all the news stations have showed it. Some are blurring out the faces. Others have shown it just in its raw form. And you have to take all of these things with a grain of salt. I've tried to do some additional research by looking through on social media, right? But I don't know. Is this really the video? Was it altered in any way? Like,
and that's what investigators are doing, right?
Yes. So regardless, it's hard to watch. Many suggesting it's reminiscent of the George Floyd death. You have multiple security personnel who appear to be holding Mitchell face down, and at least one appears to have his knee on Mitchell's neck. But just because the video is hard to watch doesn't mean it was a criminal act. Attorneys for the family want charges filed now. DA's office says they're not there, at least not yet. Preliminary cause of death in the case from the Milwaukee County Medical Examiner's office is homicide. DA's office now says they are conducting a homicide investigation. But we should point out again this morning, just because something is a homicide doesn't mean that a criminal act occurred. It's simply the ME stating that someone died at the hands of another. Dr. Ken Harris, former Milwaukee police lieutenant, host of the afternoon show on 101.7 The Truth, he was explaining that on our show earlier this week.
Their understanding of homicide and the criminal statute homicide can alter differently, because if you don't have the evidence, you can call anything anything. But if the evidence doesn't support it, it's not going to fly.
So the official update from the district attorney's office, which again says it is conducting a homicide investigation now, they go on to say they have condolences for the family, that they met with the attorneys and the family, and that the Milwaukee Police Department is still actively investigating. They also say, we, along with police investigators, are currently awaiting the full results of an autopsy performed by the ME. The autopsy results will inform the ongoing police investigation into Mr. Mitchell's death and allow our office to comprehensively evaluate the actions leading up to Mr. Mitchell's death from the perspective of potential criminal liability. So it's not charges, but it's not no charges. As Dr. Ken suggested, the video is only part of the evidence that investigators are considering as they decide whether or not a criminal act occurred. So what do you make of where we are?
You have this not being police officers, whether or not that plays a role. These are security guards. It was outside the hotel at the time. That has to be considered too, correct?
Where they were holding him down, yes. The critical moments of this interaction with Devontae Mitchell, yes, appeared to have occurred outside the Hyatt Hotel. If you know the Hyatt downtown, there's that park that's covered where you can park and drop people off. It faces, would that be Kilburn or State?
I think it's Kilburn.
Yeah, right. So anyway, there's that spot right there where, you know, there's the overhang, and that's where all of this occurred. To that point here, I'll give you this. And this is another family attorney, one of the local guys, Will Sutton, Sultan, on that.
He has his hands like this, saying, I'm sorry, please, I'll go.
That's him saying in the video that he and the family were able to view from the district attorney's office that, okay, there's an interaction. It's alleged that Devontae Mitchell was in the women's bathroom for some reason that hasn't been explained yet. So clearly, if that's the case, that's a disorderly act, and security would be right to want to throw him out. He's not sure what he was doing at that hotel to begin with. Those details not been shared or learned. But nonetheless, you would expect security in a situation like that to step in, right, and kick somebody out.
Kick him out, maybe call the cops.
Right. But what's interesting is, to your point, this is security personnel. It's not the police. Once he's out of the hotel proper, what is their A, obligation,
right,
or B, what, you know, what are the limits on what they're allowed to do in terms of detaining a person?
And
he's out of the hotel.
Yeah, right. And by obligation, if it's a menace to society, right? Mm-hmm. If they define that as a menace to society, what's their obligation to let that person go versus restrain until officers arrive?
And I don't have the answer to that question. We just raise it, and it does need to be answered by the district attorney's office.
This reminds me of, and they're not the same cases, but it reminds me of Corey Stingley. You remember that case out of West Dallas? He was the teenager, I think he was 16, teenager who was caught at a gas station stealing like some...
Oh, alcohol, right?
He was stealing from the store. Wine coolers or whatever from a store, and some customer held him until police arrived. And he died from asphyxia. And there were no charges ever filed in that case. Now, there are some who still believe that charges should have been filed in that case. It reminds me to a certain extent, there's several differences, but the big one being that it wasn't a security guard who held Stingley down. In this case, it's several security guards.
So, right, add that to the list of things that the district attorney's office, and I'm not trying to provide cover for them
as to why we haven't had a decision, but one of
the things they'll have to consider and sift through legally, right, what's the difference between a person who's just a citizen? Is there a difference between that person and someone acting in security? What happened before the video? What was said?
Yeah.
All of these other things. They're considering all of that. As for the people who are at least seen on the video, we understand. So the Hyatt is a franchise type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you go to a fast food restaurant. There's the big name there, but a local family may own and operate that restaurant.
Right.
In the same way, there's a third-party operator that runs the Hyatt, and that operator has fired the people who were involved, at least that you saw in the video, who worked security for the hotel, and has TMJ4 has a statement from them. This is actually from the Hyatt, and they say that the Hyatt Regency Milwaukee is a franchised hotel. It's operated by Ambridge Hospitality, which they say is responsible for the management of hotel employees, including the disciplinary actions related to the individuals in this incident. The statement ended with the spokesperson emphasizing Hyatt's commitment to supporting the efforts to, quote, help ensure accountability for the circumstances that led to the death of Devontae Mitchell. So they distanced themselves from having responsibility for this, putting it on the hotel operator. That said, the operator has said that those employees were fired, but that's hardly criminal charges. That step remains an open question. Mm-hmm. We don't have a timeline as to when the DA's office will issue a decision, but they are at least engaged with the family on this.
But we do know that this story is going to continue to get more attention, especially with the RNC just days away.
ABC on Good Morning America and NBC on the Today Show at the same time had this headline running, that lower third, as we call it in the business. No, not all eyes on. Make or break. Today, 4:30 p.m. our time, President Biden expected to hold a news conference after wrapping up the three-day NATO summit in Washington. He will take questions from reporters. And I was reading it would be the first time that he's done so, like in a big gaggle news conference style, for the first time this year. What's at stake? Let me read you these two sentences from CNN. And keep in mind, it's CNN. Nothing less than Biden's hopes of a second term will be on the line at the news conference exactly 2 weeks after his incoherent and dazed debate performance sent his campaign into freefall. It's the latest in a series of public events that have turned into excruciating examinations of Biden's health and cognitive capacity, during which any slip or confusion could trigger political disaster. That's not Fox News. It's not a conservative think tank. It's CNN.
See, that, and that's not even fair, though, because you're right. What they're saying is right, but the margin for error doesn't even exist anymore. So one slip up today is only going to be magnified.
Yeah, right. Everything, every move.
It's almost a lose-lose for him.
Unless he hits it out of the park. Right?
I mean, you have to perform.
Have to be perfect.
Okay. It's hard for anybody to be perfect, but okay.
Let's break that down further in a moment. First, I want to update you on NATO. Last day of the NATO summit is today. That'll be wrapping up at the White House. The president offered a toast at dinner hosting NATO nations.
The allies in this room not only share a common language, don't share a common language. We do not share a common border, but we are neighbors. We're neighbors because we all share common beliefs in dignity, equality, democracy, and freedom.
I mean, he didn't even pull that one off flawlessly. Kind of stumbled on what the meaning was at the front end. Nonetheless, big topic of substance at these meetings, of course, the war in Ukraine. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, kind of the star of the show. He met apparently with both Chuck Schumer, Senate Majority Leader, Democrat, and House Speaker Mike Johnson. I thought it was an interesting point that folks said about Johnson on the House side. Like, he risked his speakership in order to get that Ukraine deal done. Right? There were calls for him to, you know, perhaps face a no confidence vote or, be removed. And that was the first time that he had been with Zelensky since that, maybe the first time the two had ever met. So those meetings did occur with Zelensky. Meanwhile, these questions about the president's fitness and ability to win the election and govern another 4 years kind of overshadowed this whole summit. Democrats set to huddle again today. Some members of the president's campaign staff are said to meet with top Democrats who are a little bit bent it wasn't the president himself. Are you sending staffers? We'd like to talk to President Biden.
Talk to the commander-in-chief instead.
Yes. Nonetheless, that meeting is set to occur in Washington today. Meanwhile, you're the first Democratic senator to publicly break ranks. A lot of people have been leaking stuff. A lot of people have been saying things behind the scenes but not putting their name to it. Now you have Vermont Senator Peter Welch publicly calling on the president to withdraw from the race. And then this other thing, which maybe should be a minor story, but it's not. George Clooney, the actor, Hollywood icon, big supporter of Democrats, Democratic politics.
Big supporter of Joe Biden.
Big fundraiser. Had this op-ed that the New York Times went ahead and published calling for him to get out. So I love Joe Biden, but he's not the guy. And was harsh and blunt. And Hollywood is a bigger deal than it may seem. Like, I look at it as not only money, but high-powered influencer support. You have many in the Hollywood elite who are themselves maybe big-time donors, but more importantly, they attract big-time donors. So you got a fundraiser in, you know, Southern California somewhere, and what, the likes of Clooney are going to be there? That brings in other heavy hitters. Oh, yeah. Say, oh, yeah, I was at this thing with George Clooney. We're pals, right? And that brings in all that money. And then on top of that, you have a certain percentage of the nation that gets 100% of their news on TikTok and probably a lot from these high-powered influencers.
And apparently, many of those high-powered influencers were irate after that fundraiser, however many weeks ago that was now, just unbelievably frustrated by how bad it went and frustrated with some of the key point guys who work between the White House and, you know, those fundraisers who had been saying, oh, no, we're good. He's sharp. He's strong and all this stuff. And after they were at that fundraiser, were questioning like, whoa, this isn't what you've been telling.
What have you been telling us for months? Right.
Which is
fine.
Where a lot
behind
of
closed doors. Fine. But be honest with us, because it's our millions.
Right. And that's where Clooney's frustration and things started to percolate.
Is it, in sports terms, a must win? Is it a must win tonight? Is it make or break?
I'd say so, but it's almost an unfair advantage. I don't see how he has any advantage either way. Like he, no matter what he says, if there's even a hiccup, that anyone would hiccup, it's going to get blown up and blown, you could argue, out of proportion. Again, I'm not defending what he hasn't even done yet. I'm just saying that the margin
anybody who speaks unscripted for a half hour is going to make some mistakes.
There is no margin. It's like not even there anymore.
Well, I think what folks are expecting to see, if it's recoverable, would be the president whom they saw give the State of the Union address, right? Who appeared energized.
It was a good speech.
You know, was out there and you know, engaging and all of those things. If he can be that guy, that would probably be best case scenario.
Yes,
and handle and click through.
Right.
But there is a tremendous downside and a huge risk. Clearly, the campaign feels they have no choice but to take that risk. 4:30 p.m. Central Time.
Got to admit, did not see this coming. The latest Pixar film is now the top earning Pixar film of all time. Inside Out 2, the Pixar film, now the animation studio's highest grossing film worldwide. As of Wednesday, it's earned more than $1 billion, more than $1.25 billion at the box office. That passes
Wall-E?
Any guess?
Wall-E.
Incredibles 2. Incredibles 2 as Pixar's top earner.
Okay, yeah, that was a Pixar.
When it comes to all animated films, Inside Out 2 is the fourth highest grossing of all time. It'll likely pass Frozen in the coming days to take the number 3 spot.
What's the other hot one right now? Minions?
Minions just, Despicable Me 4.
And that's not picked, that's Universal, right?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that yesterday.
Your son dragged you to that?
I
like
kids,
Minions. I'll watch it. I don't need to go to the theater for it.
I like going to the movies and offer the kids, hey, do you want to go sit a matinee? And 14-year-old goes, yeah, do you want to go see Despicable Me? And I was like, well, no, I don't, but okay.
I will.
So we go and see it and we leave and he's like, boy, that movie was terrible. I'm like, oh, what? Dude, you're not 7 anymore. That's why the movie was bad. That's why you didn't like it.
Right. You're going to be in high school, man.
that's why you didn't like it. Actually, it was a nice learning moment for him, I think. He's outgrown the
getting
franchise.
Getting a little older. Yeah. Right. All right. See, but then eventually you become an adult and it's like, look, if my kids are going to make me watch something, at least it's a little bit funny for me.
Yeah. And
there's always that part.
It's a layer of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But not even your favorite Minions?
Yeah, it was fine. I mean, it's fine. It's just not for 14-year-olds.
Little guy's falling down, making funny noises. Wow.
Yep, and that's the movie. Hey, we got to give away a pair of tickets. Yep.
Virtual baseball is coming up next. We need someone to play. And on the line, a pair of tickets to see your Milwaukee Brewers at American Family Field. WTMJ Talk and Text line is 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620. Who do you want, Pancake?
Give me 7.
Caller number 7 plays virtual baseball next.
You get your first chance to see Aaron Civale in a Brewers uniform, a little bit like speed dating. You got to get caught up on him. He's got to get caught up on you.
Well, first of all, Lane, I got to say that I'm not familiar with speed dating.
This is your chance to be a professional baseball player.
People still don't recognize us.
For 5 minutes. Virtually, of course.
We're contenders now.
Welcome to Virtual Baseball on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Play ball!
Virtual Baseball sponsored by Siding Unlimited. It's siding and a whole lot more. Honest pricing guaranteed. Visit SidingUnlimited.com. Playing Virtual Baseball today, we have Chad in Waukesha. Morning, Chad.
All right.
Morning.
All right, Chad. Here is how the game is
Good
played.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. On the line, a pair of Brewers tickets. We have 20 Brewers highlights. They're labeled 1 through 20. You and a very special guest will each select 3 highlights from the same list of 20. Whoever scores more runs in those highlights is our winner. Our special guest today is the late, great Rob Edwards, PA guy for many, many years at Miller Park and at County, also worked at WDTMJ's Wisconsin's Morning News. He passed away a couple of weeks ago at the age of 79. I have 3 numbers from his famous calls that you will go up against. Are you ready?
Yep.
Okay, here is the first one.
I'm ready.
Number 7.
All right. Rob says number seven. Let's see. Number seven today is Jackson Chirio.
Little soft liner into center and diving and not making the catches. Hill, it gets behind him and Jackson's off to the races. He's around second. He is sprinting around third. Here comes the throw to the plate. Chirio's in there safely. Jackson Chirio, a trip around the bases, and we are tied at five.
All right, that's one run for Rob. All right. That's not a good start for you, but that's okay. We can get there. All right, next one.
Number 16.
All right, number 16 today is Bryce Terang.
Dominguez, 3-2. Swing ground ball to second. Runner breaking for the plate. It's fielded by Stott. Throw home. Tag applied. Out. Done. Out. Realmuto held onto the baseball.
Oh, Mauer.
Out. Done. Out. Out. Done. Out.
All right, that's good. That's
right,
good
so
for you, Chad.
There. All right, last turn. This is Rob Edwards, famous PA guy who just recently passed away. Let's see what the last number is.
Number 8.
Number 8. Okay. And today's number 8 is Jake Bowers.
And that next guy is Bowers. Bases loaded, two outs. Eovaldi, first pitch. And Bowers sends one out to center. Racing back is Hill. At the track. Wall. Grand slam.
Oof. All right, not irrecoverable, Chad, but you're down 5-0 here.
Okay. Now it's your time, Chad. What's it going to be first?
17.
Number 17 today is Reese Hoskins.
2-1 Dodgers, the 0-1. High, deep drive, left center field. Backing up, Páez back onto the track. Páez wall leaps up. Did he catch it or is it over the fence? There's been no signal. Now it comes. It's a grand slam for Reese Hoskins.
All right. 4 on the board for you.
All right. 5-4. Rob Edwards leads Chad. But you got 2 more. Go ahead, Chad.
How about number 2?
Number 2. All right. It is Sal Frelick.
1-2. It remains on Terang. Bassett kicks and deals. Swinging a pop fly into shallow center. Out goes the shortstop, Bichette, making the call. And Bo Bichette makes the catch about 15 steps on
all
the
right.
outfield. Grass.
Nothing there. Okay, last at bat. What's it going to be?
How about number 10?
Okay,
number 10. Let's go.
Number 10 today is Bryce Terang.
I like our chances.
Bryce Terang.
Here's the 0-1. Jackson, a liner into left center field. That's going to get down for a base hit. Hoskins trots home. Perkins being waved around third. Here's the relay to the plate. And Perkins in there safely.
Yeah.
Jackson Chirio. The rookie comes through. And the Brewers take the lead.
To be a professional baseball player.
Oh, you were. And you did it.
Nice
well
job,
done.
Chad.
You came back and won that game. Well done.
All right.
All right, Chad, hang on the line. Greg Pancake Hill, producer of the program, is going to get your information. Chad and a guest of his choice going to see the Milwaukee Brewers.
Take me out to the ground. Buy me some peanuts.
WTMJ, W277CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee from the Annex Wealth Management Studios. This is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
Just before 9 o'clock, WTMJ 5-day forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. You know, we say isolated shower is possible. You think, all right, but your chances of getting hit by that, pretty slim. If you get caught under one of these, there could be a lot of rain in.
Is that right?
Yeah, I was running around town yesterday and just, there were like two, I'm looking at the radar, it's raining, I'm looking at, there's like 2 spots on the whole radar in southeast Wisconsin, and I was under one of them, and there was a lot of rain in there. Possible this afternoon once again. High of 82 degrees, a little bit cooler near the lake. 64 your low tonight. It'll take you through the weekend, mostly sunny with a high of 83 on Friday. Saturday, we get warm and humid. Slight chance of storms in the afternoon with a high of 87. Sunday, high up to 92. They say the heat index will push 100 degrees with a chance of thunderstorms. WTMJ's Political Power Hour. Steve Scafidi up next.